Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you tell people who ask you, what is your religion all about? What is Christianity really? Well, many would respond, well, it's about following Jesus, following Christ. But what does that mean? Many would explain it's about being like Jesus, doing good, being good, not harming anyone. It's about keeping God's commandments. It's about charity. It's about self-sacrifice. It's about love. However love is defined, to many people, that's what Christianity is. But that's like taking a picture and tearing it in half and then pretending that you have the whole picture when in reality you only have half the picture. Imagine taking your service folder today with that picture on the front and tearing it right down the middle through that tree and then saying that either half represents Christianity. Well, that would be madness. To understand a picture, you need the whole picture. To understand Christianity, you need both the law and the gospel. The Pharisees who are described in the Gospels were content to know the law. To them, that's who God is. He's the one who makes demands on us, who tells us what to do and what not to do, who loves the obedient and who despises the disobedient. They loved the law, loved talking about it, loved studying it, loved teaching it, loved obeying it. And they loved the feeling of accomplishment they got when they obeyed the law. And they also loved the feeling of superiority they got from comparing their obedience to that of other people. They loved believing that they were God's favorites, favored far above those who didn't love God's law as much as they did. So it's no surprise that their question to Jesus that they presented in today's gospel was a question about the law. Now Jesus, it says, had just finished clarifying a question about the law for the group called the Sadducees, who had been utterly unable to catch Jesus in any sort of trap. And so now, since the Sadducees were rivals of the Pharisees to a degree, the Pharisees were eager to take advantage of the situation and prove that they could succeed where their rivals, the Sadducees, had failed. They could trap Jesus in his answer to their question. Now, why did they want to trap Jesus in the first place? Well, this is Holy Week, after all. By this time, they've gone through everything, all the arguing with Jesus and the challenging of Jesus. Well, Jesus had been teaching this awful message, this other message that he called his gospel. That God loved lawbreakers just as much as he loved law keepers. That God was, in fact, eager to spend eternity with many of those who had broken his law, while he was unwilling to allow good and decent people like the Pharisees to enter his kingdom as they were. Well, that made no sense, because if God is understood according to the law, according to that half of the picture only, then a just God must love the law keepers and despise the law breakers. Obviously, this Jesus had to be stopped, had to be exposed as a heretic for teaching this other doctrine called the gospel. So they put this question to him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now, what would he say? Would he dare to say that the law is evil, that the law doesn't matter anymore, that the law is no longer valid, that his gospel is intended to erase the law. If he does, then we have him. But no, that's not at all what he replied. He had an answer ready for them from the law. First, from the book of Deuteronomy, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And then he added another answer from the law, from the book of Leviticus. "And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The whole law depends on these two commandments, as do the prophets. So, Jesus' answer is the law is good. The law is just. The law is valid. And the law is essential. Jesus agrees with the law. In fact, you can't know God rightly without the law, without that part of the picture. Now, this wasn't the first time Jesus had given or approved this answer that summarizes the law. Earlier in Jesus' ministry, you recall that other lawyer or expert in the law who asked Jesus, "Teacher, what good thing do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus asked him, "Well, what does the law say?" And he gave essentially the same answer Jesus did in today's gospel. "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus answered, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." And then, if you recall, Jesus went on to teach the parable of the Good Samaritan. Why did he teach that parable? Well, he told it to illustrate that keeping the law to love your neighbor as yourself meant doing everything that the Good Samaritan did for that man who was beaten and dying along the side of the road with a genuine heart, and doing that all the time. And then the expert in the law at the end heard that thunderbolt from Jesus, "Go and do likewise." That's the law. Because the kind of law, the kind of love that the law requires toward your neighbor is beyond what we who are all born in sin are able to supply. If you can't love your neighbor as yourself, as that parable of the Good Samaritan depicted, if you can't always treat your neighbor with the love that you want your neighbor to treat you with, then how can you possibly love God? You're only commanded in the law to love your neighbor as yourself. You're commanded to love the Lord your God much more than that, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus agreed that God is serious about his law, which includes the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments of the Old Testament law, some of which were only for the Jews, some of which are for all people of all times, all summarized with this whole self love for God and with this loving your neighbor as yourself. Still, sadly, the Pharisees refused to accept that even they were lawbreakers. They were content to know the law, even as they lived under the delusion that they were actually keeping the law. The fact is, no one keeps God's law. And so all are like that naked man on the left side of your service folder in the picture who is being chased by death into the fires of hell. For a moment, the Pharisees may have thought that Jesus was actually on their side. He gave a good summary of the law to them, after all. But he wasn't content to stay focused on the law. He then posed the question to the Pharisees that didn't seem to be at all related to this discussion of the law. "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how then does David by the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now, if David calls him Lord, how is he David's son? Nowhere in the commands and the threats of the law is there any discussion of this Christ. The law is very straightforward. Those who keep it will be rewarded with eternal life. Those who break it ever at all, even just a little, will die. There's no talk there about this Christ. And yet every good Jew, including these Pharisees, knew that the Old Testament scriptures talked quite a lot about this Christ, the Messiah. Well, how did he fit into the doctrine of the law? They hadn't really thought about it, apparently. But after Jesus talks about the law, he wants to talk about the Christ, starting with who he is, the son of David. Of course, a descendant of King David, promised by God to King David to come from David's lineage. And yet here in Psalm 110, the one Jesus quotes in our gospel, a psalm written by David, David calls the Christ my Lord. Such a simple little phrase, two words. Someone might just pass right over it in reading the psalm. The Pharisees can't explain to Jesus how it can be or how it should be. And tragically, probably the most tragic thing that happened in all of Holy Week, including Good Friday, they were content not to know the answer. They didn't question Jesus any further after that day. Don't be content to know the law. Don't be content to know only half the picture of who God is and what his true religion is. Don't be content not to know this vital truth about the Christ. Ask Jesus, ask the scriptures about this teaching called the gospel. It's the gospel that teaches about Christ. That yes, he is the son of David, born from a virgin mother of David's lineage, as the prophet Nathan and the prophet Isaiah had both prophesied. Born of the tribe of Judah, born of the stock of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, born a Jew, born a human. But he would also be David's Lord, the eternal Son of God who was in the beginning with God and who was God, who died and rose again and now sits at the right hand of God the Father and will come again at the end to judge the living and the dead when he will place all his enemies under his feet. True God and true man, the Christ came to be the substitute for everyone, to fulfill the law where every man had failed, to die for mankind's sins against the law, true man that he might die for sin, true God that his death might be for us, might be sufficient to atone for the sins of the world. That already is the gospel, the good news that God loves the world, sent his Son for the world, and desires the salvation of every sinner on earth. But the gospel is also more than that. It's chiefly a promise and an invitation. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Or he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The gospel is this preacher standing next to the naked man on the picture on the right side of your service folder, pointing him to Christ crucified, pointing him to the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and telling him, promising him, that God the Holy Spirit, the dove, will apply the sacrifice of Christ to him through the sprinkling of the waters of holy baptism. There it is, the whole picture. The whole picture of who God is, the whole picture of Christianity and the true religion, not the law only or the gospel only, but the law and the gospel. The law commands us what to do or not to do and condemns us for disobeying. But the gospel teaches us what Christ has done for us and shows us, poor sinners, what we are to believe in order to be saved. Know the law, but don't be content to know the law. Know the gospel and believe the gospel. For it, not the law, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.